Take notes, you know, because maybe younger people at that time are going, I don't know what my parents or my grandparents are talking about.
Get involved and keep yourself busy. And if you can, join organizations that further your goals.
When we used to be together, the children would ask me, tell us some of the stories about your growing up.
Welcome to Elder Wisdom Stories from the Green Bench. I'm so pleased to be sitting on the Green Bench, and I'm so happy that you're joining us today. I'm Kathy Buckworth, and as always, I have my lovely co-host and friend, Evelyn Brindle, who lives at the village of Erin Meadows in Mississauga. Hello, Evelyn.
Hi, Kathy. I'm so happy to be here on the Green Bench with you again, and this time with Royal Hamill, a friend that we met in Niagara Falls at the Schlegel Conference last October.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it, Evelyn? We did our podcast in front of, I think, 500 people or something like that. And Royal was one of our fantastic guests that we spoke to there. And it's so great to now speak with him on this podcast.
Oh, definitely. It was very impressive. And I think gave so much to the audience there. I've been thinking about him ever since, and I'm so delighted to know that we'll be speaking with him a lot longer today.
Yeah, and this podcast, as we always talk about, is about the stories that we get from our fantastic guests. It's also about getting some wisdom. We love to get some wisdom, and I can't think of anyone better. I agree with you, Evelyn, after speaking with Royal in Niagara Falls. I think he's here with us right now. Good morning, Royal.
Good morning, Royal.
Good morning. Good morning. Nice to be with you all.
One of the things that we loved about speaking with you, Royal, was your enthusiasm. It's so contagious. You have such a positive attitude. Where does that come from? You wake up every day with a smile on your face?
Well, sometimes I wake up in a better mood than others, to be sure. But frankly, the positive attitude that I have, I would have to say, comes from my faith in Jesus Christ, which is all linked to the fact that I have been a pastor for 50 years now.
And Royal, you know, part of the reason we love your enthusiasm is also because we had learned your story. And for those who didn't get the opportunity to hear the live podcast already, let's just go back there for a minute, if you don't mind sharing your story, really life-changing circumstances that happened to you.
Sure, I'd be glad to do that. Well, it goes back 3 years now. I was, as I tell people, I was a very healthy 73-year-old man that played table tennis about four times a week. And I rode my bicycle all around Guelph with a friend of mine. And then one day I was out shopping, came back home early in great pain at the back of my neck. My wife took one look at me and said, "Whoa, I am calling emergency." And so the paramedics came, they checked me out, and before they finished checking me out, in the next half hour, my entire body started to shake uncontrollably for about a minute, maybe a minute and a half. And when it had done shaking, I was paralyzed from my chest to my toes. Later on, after an operation and more medical treatment, it would be determined by the doctors that I had experienced a blood leak into the upper spinal cord, and it had resulted in this paralysis that has left me paraplegic.
Wow, that's quite a story and quite a change to have happened that quickly to you as well.
Well, it's so true. I mean, it was like it was literally from one day to the next, mm-hmm. right? And so my life went into a doctor mode, hospital mode, rehabilitation mode, denial mode. It was only later that I realized how much denial there was. And I'm going to say even my first year and a half of experiencing this this profound paralysis that has changed my life entirely.
Yeah. We all go through that denial mode when something hits us, not only like that, but, you know, people who suddenly face cancer or a stroke and so on. It's a period of getting adjustments and, you know, thinking that, wow, we've lost so much and you've lost quite a lot in every part of your body, actually. So it's a complete change of life. Your whole, not only the physical part of it, but also the mental part of it. And I think that's where, you know, your positive thinking gradually comes back to you, and you focus more on that, don't you, Royal?
Well, yes, I do. You know, for the first while, there was always the expectation and the hope, well, I'm getting better. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to be able to get up, and the rehab is going to do the work. I'm going to be able to walk. I'm going to be able to play table tennis again. And little by little, there was the slow realization that probably none of those things were going to happen. And in point of fact, we're right on track to none of those things are going to happen. So it has been my faith in God. It has been God keeping me positive, God keeping me healthy in mind, and leading me forward, so that I am now in a long-term care center where I expect to be here in Winston Village for some time. But I've basically accepted my new reality. This is where I am, and I seek every morning before my God. When I wake up, I pray, Lord, help me to be useful to people today. Help me to love them. Help me to reach out to them. Help me to be concerned about them. And that's kind of my first moments of the day, and that's how I'm living my life.
And, you know, once you had come to terms yourself with what your situation was, it sounds like you really do try to reach out to others who are facing some sort of adversity. What type have you done that in the village? Do you minister to others? And what type of things can you talk to them about? What do you say to them?
Well, very good question, my dear. It really is. As a matter of fact, I do visit some of my fellow residents in their rooms and seek to cheer them up. Sometimes I can do that through speaking to them on a spiritual level and minister to them on a spiritual level. Other times they're not really interested in that aspect, mm-hmm. and so I talk to them about other ways that they're rather sheltered. A changed life can be better. Now, I won't say that's an easy job, because sometimes people are quite depressed and down. But even the fact that they have another person to talk to is not insignificant. It's not small. And so that's part of what I do sometimes with other residents who cannot speak to me because they don't have my language. And they might speak five or six European languages, but they don't speak English. And so I just pull up my wheelchair beside them often. Well, when I say often, about once a day, sometimes less. And I just sit there in silence with them, sharing their reality of life and praying silently. And, you know, I think there is a true ministry in a physical presence. We come close to people and they're in a great deal of emotional pain. They're isolated, and just being close, even though I can't minister with words, because they don't understand and I don't understand them. Nevertheless, it's significant, and it's not the whole story, but it's part of the story. Beyond that, I would say that the village has been very gracious to me and allowed me to continue some of my pastoral duties. I preach once a month on my floor. I have a church service on this floor number 6, and I have Bible studies on this floor and another floor. I have 2 Bible studies every week. So I'm very, very grateful to the admin people here for allowing me to continue this kind of ministry.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And since the months that we met in person and then now, I can still feel the positive vibes coming off of you in the way that you speak, Royal. Have you had any moments of frustration in between? When you have moments of frustration, how do you get yourself out of it? What sparks you?
Well, you know, that's a very excellent question, because the answer is yes. I've had, frustration. I'm not sure that's the word I would have used, but okay. It's not a bad word. I would say sometimes I actually have to fight depression myself, and to keep a positive, faith-filled spirit. But the way I do that, it's through my faith in Christ. I know that I can go to Him at any moment, in the day. And I do, all throughout the day. One of the key scriptures that keeps me going says to me, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. And, the being constant in prayer, really, I mean, I don't pretend to think that I am any great person with great abilities, but I have a great God who grants me power and ability to do things that otherwise I couldn't ordinarily do.
And that's very important part of positive thinking. You know, there's so much that we need to do to focus on good things, to be grateful for what we do have or are able to do. And so important to start every day on a very positive note. We rely on faith to sort of help us get through the days and months, especially when things are very difficult, right? And it's important to try to do the best you can and look at things in a good and positive way. Positive thinking actually helps us physically and mentally. And if we have that optimism like you do, Royal, you know, that's healthy for us. It has been proven that anyone who is optimistic has a better quality of life. And they lower their rates of depression, and they have better management of any stress, and just are happier as well. I mean, your work there as a minister, pastor, you know, sharing those things with people, even if, as you said, you can just sit with them, means a lot to them. And I think more of us have to really start thinking in that direction and away from ourselves so much and more focus on things that are good and show some happiness. But you certainly do that. And I remember a lot of the humor that you mentioned through some of the discussions we had at the conference. And it's, you know, it's wonderful. As I said, I still think about a lot of the things that you did. You made a tremendous impression on everyone that was there.
Sure did. And it's funny, you know, well, not funny, the Green Bench is really, I mean, the reason we do this is about starting conversations and sharing stories. And I love the idea, Royal, of you wheeling around in your own Green Bench and coming up to people and starting those conversations. I'm sure you've made a huge impact with other residents where you are.
Well, I leave that for others to judge, but I really think that anybody who cares and loves about other people can make a tremendous, tremendous difference in the lives of other people just by reaching out and sharing their own life. One of the other things that I do that I had not mentioned, about a year ago, I started writing a blog that is posted on Facebook. Now, I used to write at least one article, sometimes two a week. I've gotten a little bit lazier in the past while, but I do continue the blog, and it's read by hundreds and hundreds of people, and I've just been amazed at how inspiring, according to the comments that I receive back on Facebook, that it is for so many people.
Take us through one of those blog posts, Royal. What types of things do you typically write about?
Well, good question. Just trying to think here. Well, one of them, I'll go back to the blog posts in the beginning were almost exclusively concerned with the Canadian medical system and my, I was going to say run in with it, but that would be incorrect. My experience, you know, living through it with all kinds of nurses and PSWs especially. And I remember, you know, a lot of the posts are very positive with respect to my experience with PSWs and nurses, because by and large, these people in their jobs and their performance, they're good people and they're excellent people and they give excellent care. And on top of that, they give affectionate care. And I do remember there was an exception to that rule. And this blog post concerned a particular nurse that did not realize that I had this very, very a strong problem with dry eyes and gritty eyes. And especially, it was so bad I couldn't even sleep. And she didn't seem to be willing to help me or do much for me. And finally, she just threw a kind of a rag at me and said, "Here, this wet rag will probably help you." And then she left. And I realize that doesn't make her look good, but you know, she was the, I didn't feel much kindness from her on that occasion. And, I trust me, I'm not blaming her. I know the stresses that are on these nurses and the various things they have to do, but the whole purpose of my blog on that particular issue was that I was just demonstrating that I wasn't angry at this nurse. I had totally forgiven her, but my attempt to inspire people was, let's try and be in the work that we do, let's try and the way we relate to people, let's try and be more gentle to people. Mm-hmm. Let's try and treat them with greater gentleness was really the word that I focused on. And that blog seemed to affect many people very positively.
Yeah, and you seem to have a great respect for the people that work at Winston Park and those who take care of you, of course. What was it like living at home before that, Royal? And what's the difference between, you know, living at home? It got too difficult, I assume.
Well, you're quite right. That's exactly what happened. My darling wife was being worn out with living virtually 24/7. And watching over me, caring for me. Now, to be sure, there were lots and lots of PSWs who were coming on a regular basis, and we had many hours of help. But in some respects, I could have continued on, but I'm the one who needs all the care. And there's a lot, trust me, a lot of care that goes into taking care of me. But it was just wearing her out. And we saw that my two sons and myself and her, and we realized that we had to have a change. So, so glad I ended up, so thankful to God that I ended up at Winston Park, where she's able to live at home now and care for my, I have a mentally challenged son as well. And she lives in a granny basement, but with an older son who lives upstairs, and her needs are well taken care of. And even as my needs are well taken care of here. So it was really a win-win situation, except I don't get to see her very often. But when we do, hey, we make up for it.
I'm sure you do. Great.
Royal, one of the things that you had mentioned, and I know you focused on quite a lot, was the word compassion. And that has stayed with me for quite a long time, because it's literally, it means to suffer together, but it's a desire to help other people. And in the world today, we seem to be losing that. Our faith does have the history of showing compassion. I mean, God and Jesus, any faith has always promoted that. But how do we go about furthering this aspect of compassion, encouraging or teaching our children or others that is a good thing, and we need to show it and be thoughtful and helpful to others that we have in our lives?
Well, I guess I would say to begin with, of course, with respect to teaching children, etc., we first of course have to be a model to our children and live out a life of compassion. And I in some ways, I don't think that's a very profound statement, except the fact that it's true, and it's profound in that sense. Otherwise, if we don't model and teach and encourage, they'll they'll all grow up to be little narcissists and thinking only of themselves. And I would say that by and large in life, I think a lot of people end up growing into adulthood. A lot of people are very self-focused, very self-centered. And I honestly think that unless something dramatic happens in their life to bring them closer to the God who cares, to the God who really loves other people, and somehow they become in a much deeper sense linked to Him, I don't see it happening. I don't think we can just kind of come up with this concept, well, people need to be, should be, and can be more compassionate. I think it's actually very deep, and usually, well, and certainly in my case, and in the case of many Christians, I would say, and other people of good faith, that I think it takes God to make compassionate people, because otherwise, without a belief in Him, why not just live for yourself? Why not just care for yourself? Why not just suffer by yourself? So that's how I would answer that question, my dear.
And the wisdom, of the elder is the cornerstone of our Green Bench, and sharing sort of the wisdom and having others share with us. And I think that's true when I think about the parable of, or the saying, I should say, a problem shared is a problem halved or a problem solved. Why do you think sharing personal experiences matters so much, and how does it help others?
Well, it's kind of like a new question to me, and the reason, to be totally fair, I think when I began my blog, wanting to share with people, I think I was stunned. In fact, to some extent, I still am stunned by how much impact it has on so many people. But it's because not of who I am necessarily, but what has happened to me, i.e. that God, for whatever purposes He has in mind, and I accept those purposes, has brought into my life a deep, deep valley. And so I find myself living in this deep, deep valley every single day of my life. In some ways, I would rather that God had brought me to the end of my days, as opposed to leaving me in a condition that I have described many times as being a half dead condition, because 80% of my body is half dead, and of course the way I relate to both people and life itself is profoundly, profoundly different from most people. And most of the time, it's not fun, but it is the simple reality. So coming back to your original question, I think that it's not anything special about me, other than that it comes from a person kind of who may be a person who is in some ways self-describes is half dead. And so it catches people's attention over and over again. It catches people's attention. Well, maybe if he can do this in his condition, maybe I can do things in my healthy condition. That's all I can say to that.
That's so inspiring. And I don't know if you know this or not, Royal, but at elementary schools, they have something they call the buddy bench, which is where if a child doesn't have or know a lot of friends at school, they can sit on the buddy bench and someone will come and join them. I see you as sort of that kind of person who would approach someone sort of on their own and speaking with them. Is that something that you do at the Village as well?
Well, absolutely. It definitely is. I seek out new people. And I try to make them comfortable in knowing what's available at the Village and help them get oriented. I just do this as a regular thing all the time. I had not heard of this buddy bench system at school, but it sounds wonderful.
I think it's great. I think it's a terrific thing because, you know, it can be hard to make new friends no matter what age you are, right?
That's so true. That's so true.
Definitely. Royal, what do you enjoy the most every day?
I enjoy the interaction that I share with nurses and also PSWs. I enjoy that as well as when I'm able to have significant conversations with residents. In short, what I enjoy the most is being with people, interacting with them, laughing with them, finding out problems and issues in their lives, and then I let them know that I'm praying for them, and I do pray for them. I pray for people who tell me, you know, We've been trying to have children for 8 years or whatever, and I say, you know what, I'm going to make this a matter of prayer, and I do, and I pray for people who are trying to get permanent residency status, and they're having problems, and they look at me and they say, will you pray for me? And I say, I'll pray. And so it's being with, relating to, and just being a fellow person with these people who share my lives in so many deep ways.
And that's reflective of what you said at the conference, that if you have a mission, you have a purpose, and that can also give you the enjoyment of being helpful and loving whoever you're in contact with. So that's very good. I have, I hope you don't mind my asking this, but I've been curious about it. How did you get your name Royal? It's so unusual.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Definitely. You know, there's a book written called Little House on the Prairie. Mm-hmm. And my mother loved that book and read it and probably read it to us kids too, although I don't remember that, but she loved that book. But in the book, there are two twins in the story. One of them is named Elemanzo and the other is named Royal. And it appears that she named me Royal, and that's where she got the name.
Yeah. Wonderful. Oh, great. And it suits you.
It
absolutely
does.
It's the perfect name.
Ron Schlegel once said that the greatest untapped resource in Canada, if not the world, is the collective wisdom of our elders. And I'm so glad that we were able to tap into the wisdom of Royal today. Thank you so much for being with us. Do you have any questions of us, Royal, of Evelyn and myself?
How long have you been doing this job, ladies?
This is our second year working together, Evelyn and I. This is the third season. We're doing the third and fourth season this year. And we've met each other quite a few times now. And I think I'm enjoying working with Evelyn. She'll have to speak for herself.
In the same year. Kathy's been an inspiration as well. And she puts in so much effort and has been a great grandmother.
Well, I just think you do such a tremendous job, and both at in the work you do, as evidenced by the fact that you make me feel so at ease and comfortable to talk. And so I just congratulate you both on your excellence of and productivity.
Well, now it makes me sound like I was fishing for compliments, which I wasn't, but thank you.
No,
thank you
no,
so much, Earl. We love doing it.
Yeah, I never saw you as doing that, but I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And I appreciate our listeners, of course. I think this will be one of the podcasts that is most listened to. So I thank everyone for joining us on the Green Bench today. On behalf of Evelyn Brindle and myself, I am Kathy Buckworth. And thanks for letting us bring you another inspiring story. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't. And also share your own elder wisdom at using the hashtag elder wisdom on social media so we can all learn a little bit from each other. Thanks again for joining us. We look forward to the next episode of Stories from the Green Bench.
Elder Wisdom, Stories from the Green Bench, is brought to you by Schlegel Villages, a complete continuum of care, offering independent living to long-term care, celebrating and honoring the wisdom of the elder. To learn more about us, please go to our website, schlegelvillages.com.